In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So today we come to this brief interlude between the end of Lent and the beginning of Holy Week and the commemoration of the Passion of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. I love this time of the of our journey to Pascha because even our vestments speak of it a little bit. We have a preview of things to come, as it were. And so we have shed momentarily our dark vestments for our bright vestments, because beginning here with Lazarus Saturday and ending tomorrow with Palm Sunday, there's this brief interlude that is in anticipation of the glory that's going to be revealed later after the Passion. So our Lord comes to the home of his friend Lazarus. And not just Lazarus was his friend, Mary and Martha were his friends as well. He loved these people. And when he heard that he was ill, he immediately went there. But when he got there, you know what? He was too late. He just didn't get there in time. And so Martha tells him so. Lord, if you'd only been here, you could have saved him. Well, that's a backhanded sort of expression of faith, I guess. But what is his answer to her? He says, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am life itself. I am. He is the great I am. She didn't understand that. She didn't understand exactly the full impact of what he was saying. But it's very clear that he was putting forth his authority as God in this situation. But he also came to this situation as a human being. And he was not indifferent. He wouldn't be indifferent in his divine nature either. But he was not indifferent to the suffering of his friend Lazarus and that family. He wasn't too late. He was right on time. Because he wanted to show and demonstrate his power over death. Was Lazarus really dead? According to the passage that we have read this morning, his body had already begun to deteriorate. There's no question that he was dead. He was dead. And so our Lord, before he raises him from the dead, weeps. It's a passage that's always amazed me. Knowing full well that he's getting ready to raise his friend Lazarus from the dead, he cries. Why would he do that? Well, he did that because he cared. He was not indifferent to what had happened. And furthermore, and beyond that, he never intended for any of us to experience this curse of death. It is a natural consequence of our rebellion against him. But he was and is intent on doing something about that curse, reversing it, being the antidote for that horrible illness known as sin, the illness of the soul. Father John Braun, many years ago, was teaching a bunch of us clergy about preaching. And he said, you know, when you're preaching, you tell them what you're going to say, then you say it, and then you tell them what you said. That's kind of what God has done here. Except he was telling them what he was going to do, then he did it, and then he sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, through the apostolic ministry and indwelling in the church to tell us what he had done experientially. He defeated death with Lazarus as a preview of his victory over death that would be final and complete. This is just a preview. Just as these vestments are bright today, in a couple of days they will be purple again. We will have to enter into that darkness. We will pass through that darkness. But before we do, The Lord gives us this taste, this foretaste of what it is he's going to do. What he's already done in our case. And that reminder through the comforter of what he has done. Experientially for you and for me. And among other things, what takes place in this reality is that we realize that he cares about us too. You see, he wants you to be his friend. Not his drinking buddy, not his golfing partner. He's God. We come to him in that manner, with that dignity, always. That's the only way we can approach him. But he also wants the intimacy of friendship with us. Lazarus was his friend. He had an intimate relationship with him. And it hurt him that Lazarus had to suffer the way he did and that his family was suffering the way it was. And so he raises him from the dead. That preview, that grand preview, a little taste of glory, a little taste of light before we have to go through this darkness. It's a marvelous, marvelous reality. And this is what our whole faith revolves around. This right here, that he conquered death. He conquered death, he is conquering death, and he is going to conquer death. So the question I put to you today, among other things, is, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that when you go to your grave, he will be there? He will be there, guarding you, protecting you, waiting on you. We need to believe that. If we don't believe that, we need to repent. We need to believe that with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Because that's what it means to be a Christian, to be a friend of Christ, to be saved. May in the days to come, his glory be brought to bear on our hearts in such a way that we have no doubt that he is God and that he will deliver us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen.